So, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Loads of interviews coming up this week. It's the second qualifying round of the FA Cup, and later we're going to be joined by non-league journalistic royalty, Mr. Andrew Simpson. He'll be joining us for a fixture preview. We're also going to be joined, at time of recording, this is all confirmed, some actually already recorded, the management at Stockton Town, City of Liverpool, Prescott Cables, Runcorn Linnets, Mosley, Marsh United, Corby Town. I'm hoping to get a couple of more clubs as well. And if that isn't all enough to discuss last weekend's results in the league, James Hayes is here, everyone. Hello, James. How are they?
Afternoon, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. We should say we're recording this bit of the show on a Thursday afternoon. We never record in daylight hours. So welcome, James. Welcome. Right, let's crack on because we've got so much to talk about. Not too far off 10 games now. For South Shields, they're one game away from 10 games. Currently leading the league by 2 points. South Shields with a 2-1 win over Hyde United and a 4-0 win away at Radcliffe. I'm not too sure if South Shields even bothered going back to the North East with those two games in Greater Manchester. First to James, the Hyde United result, they had to come from 1-0 down and scored two goals in the second half there, but a bit more convincing against Radcliffe.
Yeah, I mean, the Hyde game, they were made to fight for it in Jim Gowan's first home game. I haven't seen the Radcliffe game up run. Second half came in, controlled the game, just pummel sides. That's what's winning them games at the moment.
Matlock Town are also in daunting form. Matlock Town, two wins from two this past week. The first one coming on Saturday. Matlock Town, 2-1 win over Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic did take the lead from the penalty spot just on half-time. Scott Bacor there scoring, but Alex Byrne scoring two goals. And while I'm talking about Stalybridge Celtic, big congratulations to Steve O'Halloran, who's now been confirmed as assistant coach at Stalybridge. And then that takes us to the moment where a lot of Witton Albion fans will want to turn away. Matlock Town 9, Witton Albion 0. Liam Hughes there with a hat-trick amongst the scorers. Witton Albion, incidentally, did win on Saturday, picking up their first win of the season away at Morpeth Town by 2-1. That was Steve Turnbull's last match in charge at Morpeth Town. And sending our best wishes to Steve. Hopefully he bounces back soon. Back to Matlock, fantastic result that on Tuesday night, a 9-0 win over Witton Albion. Let's have some post-match reaction now. Here's Paul Phillips speaking in Matlock Town's YouTube channel shortly after the final whistle on Tuesday.
I think from 1 to 11, as bad as we played against Belper, I think that was as good as we've played for a long while. Passed the ball well, put the balls in the box, took our chances. From 1 to 11, I thought the midfield set up by winning the ball up high, Chippendale running off him. Thought Uzi looked, and I knew it'd take three or four games to get Uzi back to where he needs to be, and he looked his old self today, bringing the ball down. Even, listen, the back three and the keepers, even though they didn't have a lot to do, the two up front for them were lively, and they nullified the threat. So I'm proud of the lads tonight. Listen, we've got seven unbeaten, seven wins on the trot, 21 points, I think that is. So apart from the opening day where we let ourselves down and Belper, we've been okay.
Now, I'm sure you'll take this evening to enjoy the victory, but then all eyes turn to a rearranged game against Stafford Rangers on Saturday. What's your thoughts going into that game and what sort of competition you're expecting against Stafford?
I think it'd be a different kind of game. They've got a kid that can throw it far and fatten a whip bread, can throw a javelin. So they'll put it on us, ask questions, and it'll be a different type of game. But one that we'll obviously watch them. We watched them tonight at Hyde, and then see what they come up with on Saturday. But I think it'll be a different kind of game.
Paul Phillips there, speaking to Matlock Town's YouTube channel. A link to Matlock's YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. But Matlock Town there with a 9-0 win on Tuesday night. Whitby Town are in third position. They picked up two victories this past week. A 2-1 win away at Micklover. Great result for Whitby. And then Whitby came to Lancashire and beat Atherton Coles by 1-0. Jacob Hazel there scoring on Tuesday. So Whitby in fine form. For Buxton had a tricky week just gone, where they had to travel to Ashton United and then had to travel to Warrington. 2 points from those two games. A 1-1 draw on Saturday away at Ashton United. Diego Di Girolamo scoring. Whilst on Tuesday night at Cantilever Park, Jordan Buckley scoring two goals for Warrington. But Buxton scoring just on 90 minutes, an own goal from Mitch Duggan there, getting the equaliser, unfortunately, for Warrington. But Buxton, 2 points for two. I think they probably would have took that at the start of the week.
More so for the Warrington game, but maybe not for Ashton. Obviously, worth a shout for Thomas Bentham's goal in that game for Ashton at home to Buxton. I mean, they've still not lost in the league.
Well, Ashton got a 2-2 draw with Grantham Town on Tuesday. Ashton United getting an equaliser from the penalty spot on 90 minutes against Grantham. Where should we go to next? Bamber Bridge. Let's go to Bamber Bridge next. Bamber Bridge, a fantastic win on Saturday in North Yorkshire away at Scarborough Athletic. Scarborough Athletic 2, Bamber Bridge 4. And Scarborough Athletic getting a goal there in added time as well. So it was pretty comprehensive stuff from Bamber Bridge. But on Tuesday night, they travelled to FC United. And a good game of football, this one. FC United winning by 1-0. New loan signing from Blackpool, Brad Holmes, there scoring for FC United. Hyde United, incidentally, you mentioned Jim Gannon earlier with his first league home game against South Shields on Saturday. They did bounce back on Tuesday, beating Stafford Rangers by 1-0. I think we're going to see a lot of this, aren't we? This to-in and fro-in inconsistencies with teams, especially in that mid-table pack, because Stafford Rangers on Saturday beating FC United at Broadhurst Park, down to 10 men as well. So scoring 2 goals with 10 men, including a fantastic free kick from Tom Tonks. I mean, Stafford, Hyde, throwing Atherton Coles. I mean, Atherton Coles, they picked up a win on Saturday against Grantham, but were beaten midweek by Whitby Town. So we're going to get a lot of this, aren't we? This inconsistency in the middle.
So in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be that sort of interest where a lot of teams are going to be taking points off. It's the ones who can make the most advantage of staying out of that scrap league. Let's be fair, South Shields and Matlock are still easy to get dragged into at this moment in time. All it takes is 1-2 defeats, and the likes of Lancaster, Baseford are going to start catching up to them.
Well, that's suspension Baseford, because Baseford have been on the move, haven't they? Baseford a 1-0 win against Lancaster City. Brad Gascoigne there scoring for Baseford at the weekend. And Baseford winning again on Tuesday night against Gainsborough Trinity. 2-0 there. Matt Fornell and Kane Richards scoring for Baseford United. So Baseford up to 8th. Warrington, incidentally, there in 6th after the 1-0 win for Warrington over Gainsborough on Saturday. Lancaster City there, the team currently sitting in 7th. Lancaster City drew 2-2 with Morpeth on Tuesday. So Lancaster's picking up a point. But Lancaster are now 4 points outside the playoffs. So it's starting to, I know what you say about it closing up, but it's starting to stretch out a bit, actually, James, it looks like. So some teams who we fancy might be playoff contenders, Lancaster, Baseford, FC United, Scarborough, need to get the skates on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's all it's going to take is, again, one of them playoff size Matlock just to start dropping points. Get dragged back in. That's what's going to invite the likes. Again, might be 4 points at the moment, but 4 points at this stage of the season may as well be 1 point, realistically.
Yeah, it is early days. But, James, we are getting to 10 games. So
it's still a lot to play, but that's what I'm saying. It's still only 4 points is nothing at this moment in time. It's when we get to the end of November, that's when it's going to start really showing itself.
Let's just finish off our mid-table chat, because Nantwich Town were beaten by Radcliffe by 3-1 on Saturday. So a good result that for Radcliffe. Radcliffe picking up their second win of the season. Nantwich did follow up on Tuesday with a 0-0 draw away at Mickleover, which is a decent result in all fairness away at Mickleover. One last result that I've not covered off yet, I don't think. I think I've covered off all the results apart from this one, and it's a biggie. Scarborough Athletic 0, Stalybridge Celtic 3. A fantastic result, that, for Stalybridge away from home. They've got themselves into mid-table land now, I'm going to suggest, but that mid-table land's growing all the time, because can you throw Ashton? Can you throw Radcliffe into the mix of mid-table sides? So it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, you can even throw Gainsborough and Grantham in there, really. Yeah.
James, you're going to have to throw Witten and Morpeth in now. The complaints will just roll in. So come on. Everyone's a mid-table side apart from the two teams up at the top at the moment. How's that?
Well, it seems outside the top six.
Yeah. Well, that's all the results from this past week. So, like I said, some teams up to 9 games played now. Some teams still at 8. But wherever your team is in the league table, the only thing that is certain is that it is early days. But it is the FA Cup now entering full view. I say full view, that's not strictly true because some teams are in action this weekend in the league. Two matches in the Premier Division, Gainsborough Trinity against the aforementioned Stalybridge Celtic and Stafford Rangers against Matlock Town. So we could have new league leaders this weekend. However, Stafford, they're a good team. They're a good team. So we're waiting to see. James, big thank you for joining us. Just before we go, social media channels, busy, busy weekend in the FA Cup second qualifying round. How can people keep across everything?
Right, so this list is getting longer and longer every week. So Facebook.com/Northern Premier League, Twitter at Northern Premier League, Instagram and TikTok, official Northern Premier Leagues, and the YouTube channel with the goal show. So again, we've started doing the goal shows for the Premier and the First Divisions. And don't forget, football web pages will have all the scores live as they happen during the games as well.
Great stuff. Well, James Hayes, enjoy your weekend and we'll catch up next week. Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week. But it's now time to draw a line under the league and gaze at the future. And the future is very much the FA Cup. The second qualifying round is taking place on Saturday. And there's only one man who can help us go through 85 different FA Cup ties for this Saturday. It's your friend of mine. It's Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm really well. This is like NPL show gold to get me back on for a FA Cup preview. It feels like a long time since we've done one of these.
And if that isn't enough, everyone, coming up as well, we're going to have some managerial thoughts from the managers at Stockton Town, City of Liverpool, Prescott Cables, Runcorn Linnets, Mosley, Marsh United, Corby Town, and that's just the ones who our booking agent has confirmed. We're also going to try and get three others on as well at time of recording. So we're going to race.
I admire your ambition, yeah. Ben.
I know. I'm going to squeeze all this into a 1 hour show. It's not going to be an hour. It's going to be like an hour and 15, probably. I'm committing to it now. It's going to be a long one. But the listener already knows that. They've looked at the play bar and gone, oh, wow, they really have pushed the boat out. Let's start alphabetically. AFC Telford United against Stamford. We obviously heard from Graham Drury last week. Tough assignment, this one, for Stamford. But if any team can do it, Stamford can.
Yeah, definitely. And exactly what I was thinking when I was looking at this tie. Stamford love an FA competition, don't they? They've already won three games in this season's edition. Scoring seven goals, haven't conceded one yet. Those of a longer memory will remember they did go all the way to the first round a couple of years back, 2016-2017 season. And also, listeners to the Step 4 show will remember that they had a really good run in the FA Trophy last season as well. So, love an FA Cup or a FA competition run. Telford, 18th in the National League North, has not had a fantastic start, but all the points they have picked up have been in front of their own supporters and they've not conceded a goal at home yet. So they're very much favourites, but it's, and you know, they'll feel better having home advantage. I'd fancy Stamford more if they were at home, but we just know that what they're capable of in these sorts of games. So let's see what happens at the weekend.
There's an all-NPL Premier Division affair next. Atherton Colls against Witton Albion. Witton Albion picking up a win on Saturday and then coming across Matlock midweek. Atherton Colls have had a good start to the season. Yeah. What's your thoughts on this?
Really solid start to the season. And they did lose narrowly against Whitby in midweek, but as we'll touch on a little bit later, Whitby very much one of the revelations of the season so far in the Premier Division. So no shame in that. And of course, Atherton had been really strong at home before that, winning three successive games in front of their own supporters. And of course, they've got home advantage again this weekend. Witten, I suppose everybody kind of involved in the Northern Premier League have a little bit of an eye to see how Witten respond this weekend. Those that don't know, they lost in the Derbyshire Mist at Matlock on Tuesday night. That was 9-0, their heaviest defeat, I think, we've worked out in more than half a century. So to put it in context, an absolute night to forget. And obviously, absolutely desperate to respond this weekend. They have recently knocked, I think, Colls out of the FA Cup a couple of seasons back, early in Carl McCauley's reign, and it was at Atherton Colls, so recent history's on their side. But Colls were a lower ranked team then. It's very, very hard to predict what we're going to see this weekend because it's all about how Witten respond. But they did have a brilliant away win in the last round at Scarborough, so the FA Cup's been kind to them so far this season, so let's see if they can go back to back in the competition.
It's not often that a step four side are the big boys, and you know they're the ones who are having to deal with banana skin in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. But that's exactly what Bedworth United are up against this weekend as they take on United County side Longeaton United. What do you think for this? Have you got any thought on Longeaton United? It's a bit outside your patch.
It is. So I had to go and squirrel away and do a little bit of homework. They've had a brilliant start to the season. The top of the United Counties Premier Division North, unbeaten, won five of their six games, so off to a flyer. Even more worryingly, perhaps, for Saturday's host, Bedworth, is that they've scored 10 goals in three ties to reach this stage, and two of the teams that they've knocked out are league rivals of Bedworth. They've seen off Coleshill and they've seen off Shepshed Dynamo. So I think you're right in how you keep this up. In some ways, it'll be a surprise if Longeaton don't win on Saturday, which is pretty remarkable given that they're the lower ranked team.
Let's talk about Belper Town against Tamworth. We had Grant Black on the Step 4 show last week. We're off and running again, aren't we, with Belper Town here, I think. This is a tough game, though, but you wouldn't put it past them.
Definitely not. And of course, I've touched very briefly on Matlock a moment ago. They're second in the Northern Premier League Premier Division so far this season and could go top this weekend, by the way. And yet, Belper knocked them out in the last round, so already a sizable feather in their cap in the FA Cup this season, which will give them loads of confidence going into this one against Tamworth. They did lose 2-0 Belper midweek against Coleshill, but Coleshill going really well in that division, and that ended a four-match unbeaten run. So Tamworth, they've had quite a good start to the season, to be fair, although they did lose again. They also lost in midweek, this time against Peterborough Sports, but they're very much flying Peterborough in that division. So no necessarily any shame in that. They have been unbeaten in five league games before that time, so they're not in bad nick. But yeah, they'll go to Belper with a little bit of trepidation, I'll predict.
Right, so Tamworth with a relatively short journey there to Belper. It's not too far, is it, to the Derbyshire Hills from Tamworth? Some of us are having to go to Blyth on Saturday. It's a long journey, but I'm looking forward to it. It got a delightful chippy there just on the corner outside Croft Park. Am I also going to be looking forward to the football that's on offer at Blyth Spartans? Blyth Spartans hosting FC United of Manchester. Simo, can FC United, can they progress?
Yes, of course they can. Of course they can progress. FC United, of course, also love a cup run and made it all the way to the first round last term and a little showing on the telly. So why not? Why can't they go through? They made hard work of knocking Bootle out in the previous round, but did get the job done in the end. It's been a little bit up and down for FC, hasn't it, in the league this season, and in the FA Cup, of course, if you take those two games against Bootle into consideration. But fantastic result midweek to be a very much informed Bamba Bridge, so that'll give FC a big boost going into the weekend. Blythe, in many ways, have defied expectations. Obviously, you've had a pretty miserable couple of curtailed seasons in National League North, so we weren't quite sure what we were going to get from them, but they've actually started pretty well. In fact, home form is what's kind of propelled them into the top half of the National League North, and only Leamington have scored more points at home so far this season, and so Blythe are very, very strong at Croft Park and only conceded their first goals there this term when Darlow went there last weekend and got a draw. So a better Blythe than maybe it would have been 12 or 18 months ago. But yeah, FC United definitely in with a shout of going through.
Let's have our first managerial interview then, all about the second qualifying round of the FA Cup for this week's show. Let's hear from Gary Mills at Corby. Corby have got a tough game, but one that I think they could do well in. Boston United currently sitting mid-table in the National League North. Corby Town, the visitors on Saturday. Let's hear from their manager now. Here's Gary Mills. Well, Gary, a big thank you for joining us. And here we are at the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. What's the mood in the camp like ahead of Boston?
Yeah, good. Good, yeah. We had a good win in midweek, which we needed after the result last Saturday. But yeah, we've had three clean sheets out of the last four games, which is you know, a good return for us. And the players are starting to build a bit of confidence going into the game, actually. So yeah, FA Cup, really looking forward to it.
How important is the FA Cup in the grand scheme of things and keeping that sense of momentum going and those clean sheets as well?
It's massive. You know, FA Cup's FA Cup. You know, I'm born and bred with the FA Cup and absolutely love the competition. We've got through three rounds already, And so we've got a good momentum going. You know, the fans and everybody connected with the club are excited about progressing as far as we can. You know, it's a tough draw for us away at Boston. But like I've said to everybody, that's what the FA Cup's about. And, you know, somebody somewhere is going to cause an upset on Saturday. And you know, I'd like it to be us.
And what's your take on Boston? Because obviously, I think they're slightly behind us, aren't they, in the National League North? They're a couple of games behind, aren't they, in the league campaign? But what's your thoughts on you know, the challenge that they're bringing?
Well, like you say, you know, it's a National North side that's a couple of leagues higher than ourselves. You know, it's still quite early days, as in sort of looking at the league and saying how teams are going to go and do this season. So I think you just approach it that it is the FA Cup. We are the away side. We are the side that are two leagues below Boston United. And we've got to go there and show what we're about. I've got some good players, you know. I've got good players, and I've been in situations in the FA Cup where you've been favourites to win the game and you've been underdogs. And it's always nice for me going as underdogs because, you know, you've got nothing to lose. You've got everything to go and gain. And it's a big game for the football club in many ways, as we always know in the FA Cup, that, you know, financially it's a good return. And, you know, our FA Cup final is the first round proper, which, you know, you get to that, you hope to get a good draw, and then the TVs and all that. It happened to Marine last year, and look at the draw they got when they went to the third round. So one team will do it. And I've got to try and make sure, manager of Corby, that it's us that does that.
And final question, Gary. We did catch up, didn't we, at this beginning of August, talking about the theory of competitive football and, you know, welcoming Corby to the Northern Premier League and that kind of thing. But how good is it to be back, and how good is it to be playing in big landmark occasions like this coming up on Saturday?
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is. You know, we sort of get 500, 600 fans at Corby, and the atmosphere has been absolutely fantastic, and I'm so pleased for them that, you know, they can come in and watch their team and support their team, and, you know, be able to go away and support their team. So it's been great. You know, we went to Ailes Owen last week, and you got 1,000 fans there, and, you know, for the Northern Premier, that's great. So it's fantastic for everybody, and it's a great feeling. And I know there'll be a good atmosphere on Saturday at Boston, and hopefully we'll get a good following. I'm really looking forward to the occasion.
Gary Mills there, manager at Corby Town. Simo is still with us. Simo, let's move on to Bromsgrove Sporting against our very own Worksop Town. Worksop have had an okay start to life in the East Division at Step 4 of the NPL. What do we know about Bromsgrove?
Bromsgrove are in form. They've won 3 of the past 4 games in the Southern League Premier Central, so they're in decent nick going into the weekend. This is also their best run in the FA Cup since making their debut in this kind of guise of the club in 2014-2015. So already a little bit of history for them, and they're looking to kind of extend that sequence. I make them favourites, but Worksop, yeah, you're right. They've done okay. Only lost once in the league since the opening day, so a pretty solid start from them. So they won't be a pushover.
A big welcome back to Rush Olympic, back on the NPL show where you belong, I feel. But it's only a passing glance because you're taking on Buxton, the mighty Buxton of the Northern Premier League on Saturday. What do you think for this one?
Well, there's a few games on this list where I've just put a little asterisk next to it as it being kind of one of the games of the round involving our teams. And I do think that comes under this bracket. Buxton, we've talked a lot about on weekly and monthly shows so far this season. Just to bring people up to date, they remain unbeaten in the Premier Division, and they've actually been perfect at Silverlands. They've won all 4 games there between League and FA Cup, and I think that for that reason they are favourites against Rushall. That said, Rushall are having a very nice start to the season themselves. They saw off Stafford in the last round, and we know it's a much improved Stafford this season, so no mean feat to have done that. And they're unbeaten in the Southern League Premier Central as well since losing to Peterborough Sports on the opening day. And given Peterborough, already mentioned once, top of the league and have beaten everybody they've come up against this season, there's no shame in that. So I expect this to be tight, and a home advantage might swing it for the Bucks.
Also returning to the MPL show after a bit of a break, it's Farsley Celtic. Welcome back, Farsley Celtic. They're taking on City of Liverpool, our very own City of Liverpool, this weekend. And let's hear some thoughts from the City of Liverpool camp heading into this second qualifying round tie. And on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with their manager. So welcome back to the show to Michael Ellison. Well, Michael, a big thank you for joining us, and a big game this weekend in the FA Cup. What's the mood in the camp like heading into the second qualifying round?
Good. Obviously, we're excited. You know, we want the game to come really, really quick. We had a decent performance on Tuesday night away at Colne. So what it does, it gives us another chance to put that right. We can't wait for the game, to be honest.
It's been a mixed bag of results, hasn't it, this past month? Because obviously, to get to the second qualifying round, a fantastic victory over Clitheroe. But then you mentioned the Colne match there, the Clitheroe match. But then you beat Warrington Rylands away. So, what's your take on the start to the season?
Yeah, it has been up and down. It's been tough. There's a lot of things have played into it. The game's come thick and fast. Speaking to a lot of the managers as well, there's all sorts of injuries. You've got COVID situations. So it's tough. Like I said, it's tough to find that consistency again. The squad from the Saturday game against Rylands, which is a fantastic result for us, was at the change. We had to force a couple of changes to get the Tuesday game on. So, yeah, it's hard to put your finger on, but we do need to find that level of consistency. Again, it seems that at the moment you seem to be getting two or three lads back and losing two or three, but everybody's in the same boat. I've spoke to four or five managers and they're all saying the same things. So it's just something that we're going to have to deal with. And we're going to have to find the answers pretty sharply.
So let's talk about Farsley this weekend then. Tough test this one. I mean, it is at home, which we'll get to the importance of the home crowd in a second. But what's your take on this game this weekend against Farsley? Because they've had an okay start to the season, two divisions above.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think that the thing is they are two divisions above. I think the pressure's on them. I think for us it's almost like a free hit, if you like. They're expected to win the game. But we're excited, you know. It's, like I say, the FA Cup, it's got that magic about it, hasn't it? And we've come through a really, really good tie against Clitheroe. Tough on each end as well. But yeah, we're really, really looking forward to it. You know, we've done a bit of homework. I know a couple of managers at their level who sent me some footage. So we know quite a bit about them. And we'll be doing quite a bit of stuff, work on it tonight to take into the game. So we'll be as prepared as we can be. Hopefully have one or two more back. The lads are saying well tonight, and like I said, we'll certainly go into positive, but I think the key thing is I think the pressure is on them to win the game, and it's almost, you know, it's not on us, so we can go and enjoy the game, hopefully.
And final question, Michael, how important is the Purple Army?
They're going to be huge for us. I mean, on Saturday away at Rylands, it was a tough day for us. We went down to 10 men and the support there was outstanding. They were very, very vocal. And you know, the lads picked up on that, and when you go down to 10 men anyway, especially away to Rylands, who are really, really good sides, I thought they pulled us through and they gave us that extra energy. So I think they're going to make a massive difference. You know, we can get a good turnout on Saturday, you know, get them vocal, it does make a difference. So hopefully we can get a few through the gate in there, you know, and make them vocal, make them loud, and you know, and try and take the game to them.
Michael Ellison there, manager of City Liverpool. Cleve Fox Town, we had Dave Smith on the show last week. They're taking on Alfreton Town this weekend. That's winnable, isn't it? That is winnable for Cleve Fox.
100%. It's been a real mixed bag from Alfreton so far. They've won a couple, but they've actually lost four. And also, they've not kept a clean sheet yet. So there's loads to be encouraged by for Cleve Fox, even though, of course, they are the lower-ranked team. They've been a little bit up and down as well, but they did have a really good win in the previous round to knock out Hensford Town, old friends of the show, of course. So, they'll fancy an upset here, and I'm going to tip them. I think they might do it, actually.
What about this tie, Colne against Geisler? If it was the other way around, I'd say Colne's got a chance, but really, Geisler would be the favourites. Is the fact it's in Lancashire, there's a chance for Colne here?
I think there's a couple of reasons why there's a great chance for Colne. I mean, if you just look at their league form, it's been a bit patchy as well. But that's probably because they've been switching between the league and playing in the FA Cup. And if you look at the form they've saved for the FA Cup, it's mightily impressive. They've knocked out a very much informed Trafford after a replay, and then went to Stalybridge Celtic and knocked them out as well in the last round. So Colne's best memories so far this season have been very much created in this competition. Those that might remember they got to the fourth qualifying round a couple of years ago and went up to Gateshead. So they've had good success recently in the FA Cup as well. Guys, they're putting them in a bracket of several National League North teams that we're going to mention. They obviously started the season later than the Northern Premier League. So we've got a smaller sample size for form. And it's and I think our teams can use that to their advantage. They're in much more of a groove than maybe some of the National League North teams. Guys, just one win on the board so far. And they'll be wary. They'll be wary on Saturday of going to Colne, and so they should be.
Now, you mentioned National League North side is a bit early days in that league. But one thing is for sure, Kers and Ashton have had a great start, haven't they? Yeah. Really impressive. They're taking on Stockton Town this weekend. Let's hear it from the manager at Stockton Town. It's a welcome back to the show to Michael Dunwell. Well, Michael, big thank you for joining us. And how are preparations going ahead of the Kers and match this weekend?
Yeah, very good. We had a good win last night against Dunson after a bit of a lull in results. So it gives us a lot of positivity going into Saturday's game, which we know it's going to be tough, but we've got to go there and we'll go there and give it a right good go.
Well, you're busy with the league. This FA Cup run's been bubbling under the surface now for the last couple of months or so. Brilliant victory over Sunderland RCA in the last round a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you know the North East game more than anyone, but that's a great result there.
Yeah, it is, because they've been a bit of our bogey team over the years in the league, and also even when we were in the Wee Side League, we seemed to draw them in the Durham Cup a lot, which was a bit strange. And they were the only team to beat us last year in the league, so we knew it was going to be a tough game. We went there, and in the FA Cup, it's all about, just, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it's all about getting the results, and we got that on the day, and it was quite convincing in the end. But we know that this is going to be a much tougher test going to Kersian on Saturday. They're flying at, I think, the third in their league. I think they're unbeaten as well. So we know it's going to be a massive test, but we haven't got a full squad going there because our captain's banned, Adam Nicholson, for the game. But apart from that, we've got a full squad. So the lads are really up for it. And we hope we can go there and give a good show, a good account of ourselves. And like I say, it's on the day, so you never know what can happen in the FA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the start Kersian have had. They're off to a flyer, aren't they? To be fair, how do you combat against a team like Kers and Ashton?
I think you've got to try and work as hard as them, if not harder, which will be difficult with their fitness levels. You've got to be compact and not lose your shape and not get dragged about. But again, it's difficult against a team two leagues higher. But we did it to an extent against Geisling a few seasons ago, where we went there and we only lost 1-0. We expect them to have a lot of the ball, but we've got to be hard to break down and not leave gaps in behind. And we've got to close the gaps up between defence, midfield and attack, and just be solid all round. And hopefully we can counter, which is one of our big strengths. But again, it's just on the day what happens. And we're confident, we always have, going anywhere. But we know it's going to be difficult.
Are you going to kip over this side of the Pennines as well, Michael? Because then next Saturday you're at City Liverpool as well, aren't you, in the FA Trophy? But this is what this level of the game's about. And when we spoke, Michael, last time, we talked about the theory of competitive football. Here we are with two massive games. I mean, how much are you looking forward to the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And like you say, that's why we relish the promotion and hopefully going through the leagues in the coming years. And these are the games that everyone wants to play in. Kersian Ashton away, City Liverpool away, two consecutive Saturdays, massive games for us in the FA Cup and the Trophy. And the club's buzzing about where we are, the players are, the staff. Fans have been superb. I mean, got a great following. I'm expecting we'll have over 100 there at Kersian. And we're averaging about 600 at home, which is excellent as well. So, yeah, the place is buzzing at the minute.
Michael Dunwell, manager at Stockton Town, speaking to me on Thursday afternoon. Simo, at Handsworth, they're taking on our very own Hales Owen this weekend. Hales Owen.
Wow.
What a start. I mean, it's been phenomenal, hasn't it? Good luck, Handsworth, is what I'm going to say, as a biased presenter of the MPL show.
Yeah, Hales Owen are absolutely flying, top of the table, won seven of the first eight games and racked up 12 goals at home in four games, averaging three a game at home. They're massive favourites to to win this, definitely. Handsworth, to be fair, have won three games to reach this stage, so having a really tidy little run in the FA Cup. They're sixth currently in the Northern Counties East League Division One. They did get beat in the FA Vars last weekend, so they're kind of on a little bit of a downer, but had won five successive games in all competitions before that. So generally in decent form, but they're really going to have to raise the level to knock out Hales Owen, I think.
We obviously heard from Mark Swan, manager at Chasetown, last week on the Step 4 show. He's obviously no stranger to good cup runs as a player. Can he do it as a manager? Travelling to Hanley Town this weekend.
It's a really difficult draw that. A lot of managers say, oh, we'd love a Step 5 team at this stage, because Step 5 teams have been in it from the start and kind of slowly working their way through. But Hanley switched, for people that don't know, from the North West Counties League to the Midland League Premier Division this season. They've had a very good start. They currently sit third. They're unbeaten in all competitions, and that's a run of nine games between the different competitions they've played in without defeat. Chasetown, though, they're in pretty good form as well in the MPL Midlands. Won four of the past five, and the odd one out in that run was a defeat to Hales Owen, who we've just lauded as being the outstanding team so far in that division. So no shame in that. Most people know Chasetown, of course, from that run to the third round. Yeah, I had a look when it was, actually, 07-08. That makes you feel old, doesn't it?
Mark Swan made that point last week. I said, oh, you know, Strangers to Cup Run. He went, well, it was 12 years ago. So.
Yeah, I was surprised when I looked that up. But that's what put Chasetown on the map. I mean, more recently, and he'd probably be aware of this as well, they've not actually got past the second qualifying round for a little while. It was 2015-2016. So that's their little milestone they're trying to reach this weekend.
Well, let's go to our next tie now, and that sees Marine, one of the perennial giant killers of the FA Cup in recent years, taking on the Premier Division's very own Warrington Town. And for more on this game now, let's hear from the manager at Marine. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Young. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and here we are once again, Marine in the FA Cup. What's the mood like in the camp heading into the Warrington match?
The mood's good. Like most managers at the moment, particularly at our levels, we've got a lot of injuries. But the mood amongst the camp's good. We lost, obviously, midweek. That wasn't our best performance. We were poor, but again, we struggled at centre-half. We lost the centre-half early on in the game, and we've already got two others out, two long-term. So, yeah, mood generally is good. Never good after the defeat, but, you know, you want to put them wrongs right if you can. And we've got a good opportunity, you know, in a massive game against Warrington Town.
Talking about September's form, we should start with the first qualifying round and a fantastic result away at Dunstan. Quite a finish to that game as well, with the goal right at the end of the match. But going up to the North East, easier said than done. So that's a fantastic result, that against Dunstan.
Yeah, I think the two games we've played, obviously the first game was Workington away, and then Dunstan away, I think, you know, anyone will tell you, you know, if you had to draw them out, they're probably two of the worst draws you potentially could have got. Obviously, for the right reasons, two great clubs. But in terms of the travelling and who you're coming up against, the quality of the two teams, two very difficult ties, which two real ding-dong games with Workington, and then there's another ding-dong game with Dunstan. Lots of quality from both sides. And as you say, we managed to nick the Dunstan one late on, and we managed to nick the Workington one in extra time.
With regards to Warrington, on Saturday, how big is this game and the challenge that you face this weekend?
Well, the game's massive because the FA Cup, you know, everyone loves the FA Cup, irrespective of what we've done in it last year. Every non-league fan or any football fan loves the FA Cup, you know, so it's a massive tournament. That's the first thing. And the second thing is we've got a real tough opponent. You know, Warrington Town, I watched them midweek against Buxton in a very, very good game, high in quality from both sides. End to end, real good match. Anyone who wants to watch a football match on Tuesday night, that was great to be there to watch it. Big, strong, physical, experienced management team, experienced players. You know, we've got a tough task on our hands, but we've had tough tasks on our hands before. We've got to prepare right, which we have done. We've got to deal with it. We've got to go out and try and give our best, and if we give our best, who knows?
And final question, Neil, just about the FA Cup at the Marine Travel Arena. We obviously saw it for the Tottenham match last season. How important is the crowd going to be this weekend? Because it would be an upset if you beat Warrington, believe it or not. How important is the crowd going to be?
I think it'll be a big upset, if I'm honest. You know, I know the quality of Warrington. You know, and they've been up there in the Northern Premier every year. They're up there again now. We haven't had the fans in, as you know, in the cup run last year. But we've had three home games so far, you know, this season, and we've had over 3,000 people in the ground. So that shows you the fans are right behind the football club. They play a massive part for us. The noise when we played Worthington in the replay in the FA Cup was as loud as I've heard it. We're going to need them tomorrow. As I said, we've got a lot of injuries, lads coming in, lads will be given opportunities. But the fans, as we all know, and particularly in home ties, are a massive lift for the players.
Well, Neil Young, manager at Marine, I can't wish you more luck than Warrington, because Paul Carden will be on the phone right away. But big good luck to both yourselves and Warrington on Saturday, and we'll catch up very soon.
Cheers, Dan. Cheers, mate.
This one here, I mean, what do you think? I mean, Marine, world famous FA Cup run now, I'm going to suggest.
And this is another one. I mean, at last of his games, one of the picks of the round, I would argue. Marine had a very, very eventful Wednesday night. For those that don't know, they lost 2-0 at Clitheroe. Clitheroe have been very strong so far, so there's no necessarily anything to be alarmed by in that. But it was a game that they finished with 8 players. They had 2 sent off, and then David Lynch was injured towards the end, and so he couldn't carry on, and they'd already used their substitute. So a bit of a mad game at Clitheroe midweek. So they've got to kind of regroup after that. Got home advantage this weekend, and yes, we all know, FA Cup darlings, if you like, from last season, equaling their best ever run by meeting Tottenham, as we all know about. They meet an improving Warrington. I think we touched on the monthly show that Warrington haven't quite clicked into gear yet, but they've had a good couple of weeks. They'll be a little bit annoyed that they didn't turn over Buxton midweek. They had the lead twice and Buxton pegged them back, but they've had a good couple of away wins this season at Lancaster and Stafford, so very much doing okay now, just outside the playoffs in the Premier Division. They'll probably have had the head in their hands when they saw that they pulled out Marine, but then Marine could have had an easier tie as well. I think this is going to be a brilliant game. Wouldn't shock me in the slightest if they end up back at Cantilever Park for a replay.
Now, I've got I don't do asterisks or pen and paper for this show, dear listener. I don't know if you could tell, but if I did, I would have it against this fixture here.
Yes.
Marsh United against South Shields. This is huge. It's like the irresistible force against the immovable object. It's like proper box office stuff, this one. We'll get Simo's thoughts in a second. But on Friday afternoon, let's hear from the manager now at Marsh United. It's a welcome back to the show to Carl Jarrett. Well, Carl, a big thank you for joining us. And there's a debate to be had what the tie of the round is, but for my money, it is this game here. I mean, what's the mood in the camp like heading into the South Shields game?
I think a lot of the players are excited and can't wait, you know, for tomorrow. Big game, like you said, for the club and for the team. But from us prep-wise and stuff, it's been quite hard because obviously we've been so busy in the league, you know, playing last week, Saturday, Tuesday, this week, Saturday, Tuesday. So we had one training session Thursday where we had to be quite light with them because of, obviously, the squad's not massive. So, you know, the mood around the camps, can't wait for Saturday. But I just want to make sure, I always want to make sure I didn't have any injuries going into Saturday as well. That's what's been quite hard.
Well, form-wise, I know Liversidge has been taking most of the headlines in the East Division, but when you look at Marsh United, I mean, defensively, blimey, and going forward, equally blimey. I mean, it's been a pretty good start.
It has both ends, which is always nice from a manager's point of view. Yeah, the clean sheets that we've kept, you know, in the way that we've played this season, you know, the defensive side of things, and the keeper's been brilliant at one end, and I can't fault the centre forwards, the three of them that I've had at the other end, you know. But, you know, we're creating a lot more chances this year, and it's been good. And you'd have them seasons as centre forward, like Adam Boyes is having up to now, 17 goals already, everything that he's touching is going in, which is great.
So how do you prepare for a team like South Shields? I've asked this question to plenty of step four managers on this week's show, but I mean, South Shields, it's another level, isn't it, really?
It is another level, and it's going to be a very, very hard game. You know, we know what we're going to be in that game tomorrow. We know we'll be the underdogs in that game, and fairly so. You know, you look at their track record over the last couple of years, how quickly they've moved on with Fence and Lee in charge. You know, the full-time club, as you know, the top of the league because they're winning everything, and they're going to be a strong, strong outfit. We've got to look at the plus side of things for us. We're unbeaten at home in 2 years. We've started off really well there. We're scoring goals there. We're not conceding games. We've played them in pre-season. You know, they had a good outfit against them pre-season. We beat them there. So I'm on the understanding, obviously, that he might look at that fence, and I'm the same. You know, I always look at their players. I always look at the results to see how they're getting on anyway, because they're a strong outfit. But, you've got to be aware of what they are, and we understand that they're going to have maybe more of the ball tomorrow. But we've just got to keep our shape, and we've got to keep things right, and hopefully we can either nick one along the way off a set player or counter-attack, you know, and try and keep them quiet. That'll be the hardest part, you know, our defensive side of things as a full team. So that's how we'll sort of set up if we can get that way, like.
And what does this tie mean for Marsh United as well? Because these are the kind of occasions you and the club want, aren't they? So I mean,
yeah, they are
the
massive game. You know, South Shields, like you said, to us are not miles away. You know, since we've got promoted, we've been used to travelling all over, like down the east side, over the west side. So this is, you know, it's not that far up the road for us, and they're coming to us on our pitch, which for us is great to have them. You know, the finance side of things, as you know, they're well followed. They're a good club as well. You know, I've been up plenty of times up there, and we've played them plenty of times along the way, even if it's been in friendlies and cups and stuff. So, you know, we're looking at, hopefully, fingers crossed, if we can have a good turnout tomorrow, it's going to be massive either way, you know, but we're going to give it our best shot, and hopefully we can go the next round and get another plum tie at home again.
Cal Jarrett there, manager at Marsh United. Simo, how big would it be if Marsh United beat South Shields? Even though in the back of my head I'm going, they could do that, you know.
They definitely can do it. I think if Warrington had their head in their hands when the draw came out, South Shields definitely did. When they saw who they were up against, particularly as it had a hell of a scare from Shildon, if you remember, in the previous round, and it was only a couple of late goals, one of them a bit of a fluke from Osai that saw them over the line. And so then to be kind of paired with another informed team from the northeast, they probably wouldn't have been too happy about that. Mask of flying. They're second in the Northern Premier League East Division, won 6 of the 7 league games, including the past 4. They've been even better in the FA Cup. They've scored 13 goals in the past 2 games, putting 7 past Pickering, 6 past Seaham. They won't be in the slightest afraid. Just to counter that, you know, we've talked an awful lot about South Shields this season, rightly so. They currently sit top of the table, which isn't surprising to those that follow that division closely. They're unbeaten. Collected maximum points in 7 of the 9 games they've played. And of course, had a brilliant run in the FA Cup last season. If people remember, they went down to Cheltenham, didn't they? And were knocked out down there. But a brilliant run in the FA Cup last season. They'll just be mighty relieved if they can get past this stage, to be honest, after the draw they've been given. They might need 2 attempts to do it.
Mickleover against Basford United is the next tie. All MPL Premier Division affair. Bit of a Midlands derby as well, isn't it? It's classic Derbyshire against Nottinghamshire. Basford have come into form though, haven't they? They really have.
Yeah, that's the kind of narrative for this one. A much improved Basford. They've won 3 games in a row now to propel themselves from the lower reaches into the top 10 in the Premier Division. And that's a longer sequence of 6 without defeat after they'd lost the first 2 and everyone was kind of scratching their heads and wondering what was going on. They've started to get players back from injury and that's been reflected in their results, to be fair. Mickleover, you had John McGrath on the show recently. A really good win for them at Leek in the last round. And if people look at how Leek have improved in the past 2 to 3 weeks, I think that looked an even better win as well. They've been a little bit iffy in the league, only won 1 of the past 6, but they have been much, much better at home on that new pitch, is where they've picked up most of their points so far. So that might make them slight favourites, but they very much will be aware that Basford now are a very different proposition to what they were even 2 weeks ago, I think.
And I think that's very much the case for Lancaster City's challenge this weekend. They're travelling to Morpeth Town. Obviously, it's been a tricky week at Morpeth with Steve Turnbull leaving the club. Who knows, basically, with this one?
We had a little glimpse, didn't we, midweek when they met in the league. And I was mentioning how Marine had an eventful night up at Clitheroe. Well, Lancaster had a very eventful evening at Morpeth. Both teams had a player sent off. And in fact, it was only a late penalty by sub Paul Dawson that kind of rescued a point for Lancaster, kind of thwarting Morpeth from picking up what would only have been their 2nd win of the season. It still leaves them bottom of the table in the Premier Division for 7 of the 9 games. I mean, absolutely nobody would have predicted that before the start. They'll feel a little bit better at picking up a point against Lancaster. And Lancaster have been a little bit up and down in the past couple of weeks. They've not won any of the past 4 league games, which is why they've dropped slightly out of the playoff positions. I did see them in the previous round knock out 1874 Northwich, and they did a really professional job. But one thing to note, Sam Fishburne, who's very much their in-form star player this season, he's not got permission from his parent club to play in the FA Cup. So it's a little bit of a reshuffle again for Lancaster, who's going to play up front for them at the weekend. They're probably slight favourites, but Morpeth, lots of players seeking to impress, not appointed a new manager yet. It'll be interesting to see if that kind of raises their fortune. So I think it'd be really tight, that. And again, maybe Lancaster take them back to the Giant Axe to get the job done.
Right. Regular listeners of the MPL show will know the Coast and County presenter, Andrew Snaith, always comes on the show to help with fixture previews and that kind of thing. But he's also very inquisitive and likes to know if things are a derby on the west side of the Pennines, because it's a bit far away from the Yorkshire coast, some places like Mosley and Radcliffe. I can tell you, Andrew Snaith, if you're listening, I did that in a very David Dickinson voice, by the way, I was aware of that. I can tell you, Andrew Snaith, Mosley against Radcliffe is a derby.
There you go. Teagot said that as well last week, didn't he? So
yeah.
That's official confirmation. Radcliffe would be a little bit worried about going to Mosley. I think Mosley, very quietly, because a lot of the attention has been on Marine, on Workington, on there being a late change of manager at Clitheroe, lots of stories elsewhere in the West Division. And Mosley very, very quietly gone, okay, and amassed a nice little points total. They've won 6 of the 7 games and sit second going into the weekend. So they're very much in form, and no one's really spoken about it, which is a real shame.
Well, let's hear the mood now at Seal Park on Thursday evening. Straight after I've done this interview with Andrew Simpson, confusingly, here's the manager at Mosley. It's a welcome back to the show to Dave Fish. Well, Dave, a big thank you for joining us. And first things first, before we get to this big FA Cup tie this weekend, just a general talk about the form at Mosley. It's been a great start to the season. I mean, how's it been?
It's been brilliant. We've had to call the full squad. We've got 24 signed now, which is more than I would normally carry, but we've needed all 24 players, and to a man, they've been superb for us. And I think we've perhaps surprised a few, including a few of our own fans, with how well we started. But the belief's high, lads are working for each other, and that's half the battle.
And without giving too much away about your preparations or anything like that, but Radcliffe are a tough side, aren't they? So, I mean, how do you prepare for a team like Radcliffe?
They are a tough side. I think the most important thing, and I say this to the players all the time, and I would imagine every other manager in the league says it, you've got to match the work rate. You've got to... Nothing's handy to you at this level of football, so we've got to work hard. And then there are certain ways we want to play. We've watched them. We try to identify how they play and how they'll try and create, and equally how we can kind of maximise some of their weaknesses. And we'll look at that sometime in training, and then look if we can implement it. And so far this season, we've been implementing the game plans well. So it's about kind of making sure the lads are set up properly. They know what the jobs are, and they deliver against that.
And how important is the crowd going to be at Seal Park this weekend? Because, you know, attendances have been pretty decent this year, haven't they? And they've been watching some good football. Radcliffe are going to be bringing a fair few too. So how important is the crowd going to be for your efforts?
I think the crowd are massive for us. They have been all season. It was noticeable last year. We played a few behind closed doors, and really does have make a difference to performances. When you've got 400 in and you've got a contingent there who are quite noisy, it lifts the lads massively. And as you say, we've been getting 380, 400, 420 in games. And there's a real mutual respect between the players and the fans now. And you can see to a man what he means to the players going across at the end, speaking to the fans, seeing them in the bar after the game. It feels like a real community at the club. So our fans can be massive. They can be a bit of a cliche, but that proverbial 12th man to help cheer us on. And you know, with Radcliffe bringing a few, I think we could be up to 500 plus. So it could be a really good atmosphere for what should be a good cup game.
And what would it mean for you and as the manager of Mosley and for Mosley more generally? I think it's been a while since Mosley got to the third qualifying round of the FA Cup. So how does all this fit in with what you're trying to achieve? Because you were flying under the radar. I don't think you are anymore, given the start you've had. So, I mean, yeah. What does it mean for the FA Cup and just the general momentum at the club as well?
The FA Cup's is special. As a manager, last season we first time in it. For me, it's a special cup. I know some teams will kind of focus on the league, but our level, if you can get a run, and Marine showed this last year, what they did was amazing, and it's probably not going to be repeated for another 50-odd years, but it just showed what a difference it can make to the club, to the town, to the support, if you can have a run and raise your profile. So we've always had a good FA Cup run as one of our main priorities this year, and that's not changed. So if we can get through, I think it's the first time we've got past this round in 10 or 11 years. That shows a good element of progress. And in the league, you know, he kind of then keeps that momentum rolling. And I want us to be knocking around the playoffs. I want us to be competitive. So a cup run helps that. It keeps that spirits high. It keeps your season alive. And it's absolutely huge to us. Not least the prize money. You know, the prize money gets bigger and bigger every round. And for a club like us, that's huge. It makes a real difference.
I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think you are.
Oh, yeah, massively. Yeah, can't wait. So he starts tonight. We've got the lads in at training tonight. And there'll be a buzz about them tonight. And then probably won't sleep much Friday night. And we're up at the ground for lunchtime, kind of getting everything ready. So, yeah, it's an exciting weekend.
Dave Fish there, manager at Mosley, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So Mosley against Radcliffe in a derby. Nantwich Town against Banbury United. Nantwich need a win, don't they?
They really do, Ben. They're having a really tough time of it at the moment. And most people are going to scratch below the surface and have a little look at how they've been doing. They've lost 5 of the past 7 league games. Very worrying times for Dave Cook. And they've failed to score in 5 of those games. So that's, you know, easily identifiable where the problem is. They're really, really struggling for goals. We've still not seen Joe Malkin yet this season. He got injured in a pre-season friendly and has not played for them yet. So it's a massive blow for them. And they kind of had a bit of a rotating cast of forwards up front while they've tried to find a winning formula and have not been successful yet doing that. And on the horizon for them is a visitor in Banbury. They're having a pretty decent start to the season. They're unbeaten, in fact, in the league. And they also did really well in the FA Cup last season when they reached the first round and before they got beat by Canvey Island. Nantwich also reached the first round recently as well, if you remember, 19-20, and lost very narrowly to Fylde at home. So that was a really good win a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's all about, they're desperate for a win, and if they can get one, it might kickstart their season, and they do need that at the moment.
Let's talk about Prescott Cables now. Prescott Cables will be hosting Whitby Town on Saturday in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. And ahead of the game, on Thursday evening, I caught up with the manager at Prescott Cables. It's a welcome back to the show to Craig Davis. Well, Craig, a big thank you for joining us. And here we are at the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. What's the mood in the camp like at Prescott?
Really upbeat, given the performance and first win of the league campaign last week against Ramsbottom. You know, make no bones about it, we've had a tough introduction to the league campaign, and some performances have been excellent and some haven't. We had to make some difficult decisions in terms of player personnel last week for that Ramsbottom game, but you know what, we come through it. I think we were deserved winners, despite going down to 10 men. And the lads are looking forward to it. In many ways, it's a free hit again because, you know, the opposition are a level higher and a very strong team. And we know that if we can defend properly and you know, organise ourselves as a team, we've got a very good chance of winning the game. We're going into the game positive, and we're at the same point as where we were last season against Darlington. And apart from the penalties, we took them as far as we could. So yeah, we're going to go into it positive and hopefully cause a bit of an upset.
And what's your thoughts on Whitby? Because they've had a brilliant start to their season, that's for sure. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough test, this one, to say the least.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough test. I know they obviously put 4 past Rylands in the round previously. We got a little bit of information from the holidays on Tuesday night. And players from that neck of the woods are always strong, physical. You know, they battle for every point, every tackle, every header, so on. So we know we've got to be at our very, very best to beat them because, as you said, they've had a superb start to the season. But I think, you know, we want them to come to us and worry about us. Our fan base will be electric, and they'll, you know, make them aware that they're in for the game. And like you say, if we do our defensive aspects right and we stick together on the pitch when they've got the ball, we know that we can cause anybody problems. So yeah, if we switch on, we're organised and we listen to the instructions. I know we've got a chance within the game. And like last year, as I say, the love of the cup, the magic of the FA Cup, anything can happen, and it's a one-off game. So that's our mentality going into the tie.
And I was just going to mention about the crowd, because this was before COVID. I mean, it was always a great atmosphere at Prescott Cables. I mean, how important are they going to be this weekend?
I think I've said that in every interview, to be honest with you. They are... You know, the backbone of the football club. They're everything good about the football club. And, you know, the other night when we were supposed to play Widnes and unfortunately it was called off, we had nearly 500 on a Tuesday night, which years gone by, I remember playing against Prescott or, you know, seeing some of the crowd numbers, it was low 200. So the fact that we're getting average 400-500 on a Tuesday night when people are in work and got their other bits going on, the family stuff, their own work stuff, it's brilliant to see that they're obviously liking what we're doing in terms of the attacking side. We know that we have to improve defensively game by game, but with those backing and those fans coming to pay their hard-earned cash and back the team on those nights, we appreciate everything that they're doing for us. So we'll be in for an atmosphere on Saturday, let me tell you that.
Well, Craig Davis, manager at Prescott Cables. Just before you go, just one last thought, really. I mean, what's your target for this game? Is it to win, get a replay, or just compete? I mean, what's your final thoughts heading into this one?
Well, me as a person, I played the game and coached the game, managed the game to win games of football. So it's as simple as that for me, really. I mean, you know, we've got to be realistic in terms of our approach and how we set up and, you know, how we might need to stay in the game at points. We might need to allow them to have possession of the ball, but, you know, make no bones about it. We're going into that side to try and win it and get into the next round and continue the bit of journey that we've had. And as I said to you earlier on, it's the FA Cup, so anything can happen. You know, on paper, they're better than us, shall we say. So let's cause an upset. Let's make them aware they're in the game and make them worry about us.
Craig Davis there, manager at Prescott Cables. So Prescott Cables hosting Whitby Town on Saturday. There's another Step 3 side travelling to a Step 4 side this weekend. Runcorn Linnets will be hosting Bamber Bridge. Let's hear now from the manager at Runcorn Linnets. It's a welcome back to the show to Callum McIntyre. Well, Callum, a big thank you for joining us. And here we are on the eve of a big second qualifying round tie in the FA Cup. What's the mood in the camp like?
I think excited would be the most simple way to put it. We've enjoyed two victories in the competition already. Two have sort of come through the ties. Avro was a really tough one in the preliminary round, a really strong side from the division and below. And then to have played Liver's Edge in an equivalent division, who have obviously made an unbelievable start, and to have had that victory means that the cup we've built a bit of momentum in, and the chance for us to test ourselves against the side like Bamber Bridge that have had such a good start. That's really exciting for us. So, well aware of the challenge in front of us, but the mood in the camp would be excited and looking forward to a home cup tie on Saturday.
I mean, that was the thing for casual observers of Step 4. That result in the first qualifying round against Liversedge was remarkable and brilliant, really. What's your take on the form you've got heading into this game? You know, we could mention the Clitheroe win, couldn't we, last week, and the thumping against Kidsgrove Athletic as well. I mean, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, but we lost to Bootle on Tuesday night, so we can talk about beating Clitheroe, beating Kidsgrove and beating Liver's Edge, but equally we've lost to Bootle on a Tuesday night, Glossop earlier in the season as well. So I'm really pleased with our form over the course of the 7 league games and the 10 games we've played in total. So for us to have accumulated 5 wins in the opening 7 league games, if we were able to maintain that form right the way through, then we would be there or thereabouts and be above where I think people would see us come the end of the season. I'm well aware of the challenge in our division. There's some massive clubs, football clubs with resources that, you know, we can never compete with. But I've tried to be consistent since I've come to the football club with we'll have a different way of doing things, a slightly different recruitment model, and try and develop an identity and a profile that makes us what we are. So we're delighted with our start. We've played a lot of games, like everyone at this level. I feel like we've played every 24 hours, to be honest, since the 14th of August. But it gives you some confidence knowing that Liver's Edge, for example, Clitheroe, Leake Town, Kidsgrove, sides that are really established at this level, we've shown that we can compete with and get the better of. So we will go with the same attitude into the Bamber Bridge game. We did what we could in the trophy last year against Morpeth. We'll show no fear, but equally make sure that we show the right level of respect to our opponents who've enjoyed, similar to ourselves, a really strong start to the season.
And what's your take on the challenge of Bamber Bridge? Jamie Milligan's got himself a good squad this season, to say the least, but there are a couple of lone players in there. So, I mean, do you know if they're going to be starting?
You'd expect them to start. Jamie Milligan, done really well at this level, had some career. Don't think he will know who I am. You know what I mean? The 28-year-old Ricky Gervais, Jason Manford lookalike. I don't think he'll be worried too much about what we'll be doing. But equally, for them, they'll have a decision to make around what type of team they put out. So do they start with Rob Apter, who is too good for that level of football? They'll own, you know, young winger on loan from Blackpool. Ewan Bonge up front, 8 goals in 8 games, I believe it is now. Unbelievable start to the season. Isaac Sinclair, that was at Curzon Ashton. Matty Thompson, the right back, that's well known to me from my time at Chester. Young Gregson on loan from Fylde. Mark Yates, again, that would be comfortable in the Conference North and has so much experience. If they go with a full-strength side against us, that's probably the biggest compliment I will have been paid in the 15 to 16 months that I've been manager at Runcorn Linnets. And equally, I hope they do. I hope we get to test ourselves against a side that are right up there in the division above. And let's see how we compare and what we can match up with them.
And final question, Callum. I mean, it's a home game as well, which is going to be very, very helpful. How important are the Linnets faithful in this game on Saturday?
They've been phenomenal for us. Look, it was difficult when I came into the football club and I spoke to you twice around that time, didn't I? And it was a sort of remarkable time with everything that was going on with the pandemic and replacing someone as successful as Michael Ellison at the club. And ultimately, there was raised eyebrows as to what me and my management team and our players would bring to the table. I feel like over time, they've seen what we're trying to do. And the gates that we've had to have had 2 home games where there's been over 700 people in the ground, 2 Tuesday night games with over 500 in the ground. The figures themselves there, given that how much of that is simply home support, is phenomenal. And that's massive for the players. We're really proud of that. And equally, I'm really proud of having the opportunity to try and deliver for this football club that gave me an opportunity and have been unbelievable for me. And I won't hide from you, I've fallen in love with the place. They will be massive for us on Saturday, but equally, I hope all season we can be massive for them and we can be a team that are worthy of their support and can offer a little bit of pride to them. So it's a two-way thing. We need their support, but we need to make sure we're supporting. But if we can do it together on Saturday, then hey, we'll give ourselves half a chance.
Callum McIntyre there, manager at Runcorn Linnets, speaking to me on Thursday evening.
This is the last of my asterisk games, by the way. And I think anyone who's kind of in the area should get along to this one, because it's two teams that really like to play. It should be a very pleasing on the eye game, this one. Runcorn Linnets have had a cracking start to the season, although admittedly they've had a little bit of a surprise defeat in midweek at Bootle, of course. Just had a managerial change at Bootle, so whether that was in the mix. But they've been there in great form before that. They've won 4 successive league games, including a really impressive 2-1 win at Clitheroe last weekend. And as I mentioned earlier, Clitheroe turned Marine over midweek, so they are no mugs at all. It's a great win that for Runcorn. Very similar kind of narrative for Bamber Bridge, although admittedly they're probably a little bit more of a surprise package than Runcorn. They did lose narrowly at FC United in midweek, and that's the first time they've been beaten in the league since being turned over 3-0 on the opening day by Buxton. So they've gone 7 unbeaten in the Premier Division between those two defeats. So interesting to see how they react, but they've got a very, very difficult assignment at the weekend to knock Runcorn Linnets out, and it wouldn't surprise me if Linnets make it to the third qualifying round.
Spalding United against Kettering Town, a huge game this one. Spalding have got a chance, haven't they?
They do have a chance, without question. They'll be a little bit dazed, though, because they got hammered 5-0 at Ilkeston in midweek, and that had brought to an end a promising little run for them. They'd gone 4 unbeaten in the league, so they need to dust themselves down and get focused back on this one. Kettering actually have had not a bad start at all in the National League North. Reinforced a point we made previously, they've not played as many games as the Northern Premier League team, so a smaller kind of sample size to analyse form, but they've won a couple of times on the road so far. I think one thing in the mix here, and you might remember this, is they were beaten a couple of seasons ago by Sutton Coldfield Town at this stage. They have lost recently to a step 4 team in the FA Cup.
I remember speaking to Bill Toof after.
Yeah, there you go. So that might be in the back of their minds, particularly if Spalding, for example, take the lead on Saturday. So it's one to keep an eye on, even though Kettering do go there as favourites.
We obviously heard from Ian Rowe last week, manager at Sporting Calza, on the Step 4 show, but well played, Ian, as well. He understood that I was an FC United fan, and he said this is the second biggest game in Sporting Calza's history. So fair play. But Kidderminster Harriers, this is huge for Sporting Calza, isn't it? And it's a tricky game for Kidderminster, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and they'll be wary that Sporting knocked Gainsborough out in the previous round. So they've already knocked a higher ranked team out. I'm not equating Kidderminster with Gainsborough before people get upset with me. I'm just making the point that Sporting have already caused an upset this season. They've had a good couple of weeks as well. They had a little blip where they lost 3 league games in a row, but they've put together a little mini 3-game unbeaten run in the Midlands division. So I've kind of stemmed a tide of defeats there. That leaves them in just outside the playoffs in the Midlands division. So they're in not bad shape at all. Kiddie lost for the first time this season at Gateshead last week. Gateshead had a good start, so there's no kind of disgrace in that. So they're, you know, they're very handily placed in fifth. They've had a good start to the season, and they'll be certainly targeting a playoff push this time around. But yeah, it's one of those ties to see Sporting Calder at this stage and then having the opportunity to play Kidderminster. A really big occasion. Let's see if they can pull off. It would be a big shot, but let's see if they can do it.
This tie here, it reminds me of trips to the seaside. This is delightful, isn't it? Get to Blackpool North, get the tram to Squires Gate. Squires Gate hosting our very own Pontefract Coles this weekend. Can Squires Gate cause an upset, or is it going to be comfortable for Ponte?
The Squires Gate can. Two teams, this has been a theme a couple of times during this preview, two teams who will be glad of a break from the leagues. It's not been great going for them in their respective league competitions. For those that don't know, Squires Gate currently sit 17th in the North West Counties League Premier Division. They do have games in hand, though, because they've been playing in the FA Cup. They've had a pretty shocking kind of run-up to this game, though. They got turned over 4-0 at Skem in midweek, and they got knocked out on penalties in the FA Vars last weekend. So the mood won't be great after a couple of poor results. But Pontefract, it's not been a great few weeks for them either. They've lost 6 of their 8 league games so far. Much better in the FA Cup. A couple of wins during which they've not conceded a goal. Squires Gate are trying to reach the third qualifier round for the first time, so they'll be definitely aware of that going into this one. They've had some really eye-catching results in the FA Cup. They've knocked out North Shields, no mean feat, Macclesfield and Ashton Athletic. So already a brilliant run for them. And they'll be really fired up, like I say, to make that little bit of history. So Pontefract, beware, I think.
And remarkably, and finally, we're at the end, everyone. We're at the letter Y. There's no teams that I know that begins with X or Z in the English system. You're just going to have to make do with Y. York City against Hebburn Town. We obviously had Kevin Boldham on the show last week on the Step 4 show. This is the next step in Hebburn Town's journey, isn't it? Obviously, yeah. You know, FA Vars darlings, but here they are playing, you know, a former Football League club who've got the premises to prove it.
Yeah, brilliant draw for Hebburn in that respect, like you say, as a marker of kind of the direction of travel for them. So it'll be a great occasion. They've been better in the FA Cup this season as they adjust to life in the Northern Premier League. It's a bit of a mixed start, only one win on the board so far, but they had a fantastic result in the previous round to knock out Ashton United. And before that, I'd put 7 goals past Yorkshire Amateurs in the preliminary round, so it's been a very tidy return so far in the FA Cup for Hebburn. York need no introduction, of course, although they have had a pretty patchy start. They lost the first 3 games, in fact, have recovered slightly to win the next 2. So they're not flying. They're not where they thought they would be. They're down in 11th in the National League North, although their kind of direction of travel is looking a bit better with those 2 wins. Can Hebburn catch them cold? We shall find out. But what an occasion it'll be for Hebburn supporters to go down there and watch their team take on York City. Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's our preview for the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. Job well done there. I think we can all agree. Simo, Mr. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire. But while I've got you here, Simo, we might as well kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Let's go to the FA Trophy first qualifying round, which takes place next week. He laughs.
Oh, how dare you.
Simo, thank you so much for doing that. Really, really appreciate it. How could people keep abreast of your work? And I take it you're off to where? Atherton Coles, wasn't it? You up to Lancashire this weekend.
100%. Hopefully a better journey to Lancashire than kind of being lost in the mist and M6 being closed and all the other nonsense coming back from Matlock on Tuesday night. So yeah, very much looking forward to, with intrigue, I would say, to see what version of Witten appears at Albert and Coles at the weekend. And those who want to follow what on earth is going on at Winchard Park, it's at @Simo_on_sport. And let's see what Carl McCauley's men can do at the weekend.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us this week. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. We hope you've enjoyed this bumper edition of the show. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.